Our passage today in the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 7, and we have verses 13 and 14. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Lord Jesus, as we study your word now, please speak to our hearts. Please open our eyes and our ears. Challenge us, lead us, teach us for your sake and ours, we pray. Amen. Dear friends, in these couple of verses, we have one of those uncomfortable truths from our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't something that Jesus made up. This is just a fact. It's a fact that we all need to hear, and probably we need to hear it at least once a day, maybe more than once a day. It is a matter of very great urgency. And you know what? I say that without exaggeration. I know that perhaps when the pastor urges you week after week, and every week is saying that, you know, this is really important, this is really important, you know, maybe after a while it kind of starts to blend in and seem like it's not so important. Look, please pay close attention today to what the Lord Jesus says, and let him, not me, let him urge you, urge us all, okay? If what the Lord says is offensive, that doesn't matter, okay? What does it matter as long as what he says is true? Okay, the important factor is not how his words make you feel. It's whether they're true. So here are the words of the Son of God, and he cannot lie. There are two paths you can go by. All of humanity travels down one or the other. The great majority of people take this path, and only a small minority take the other. All right, we need to be disabused of a certain foolish mistake in our thinking, and that mistake is in supposing that most people will go to heaven and receive eternal life. Okay, that simply because God is a loving God, that therefore most people are going to receive his pardon, and that only a few, you know, the very worst, like the Hitlers and the child molesters and the suicide bombers, okay, only the very few are going to, in the end, be cast away. Okay, friends, you have it right from the mouth of the Lord himself. It is most certainly not the case. The majority will go to destruction. All right, let it sink in. Now, I don't know if you think that, like, God and Satan are keeping score, and that in order for God to win, he has to have a higher score, you know, get more than 50% of the people, that if in the end only a few are saved, that somehow the devil wins, okay? Is that what you think?
No.
It is explicitly not so. The gateway to life is narrow. It is narrow. Numbers are not what matter. Throughout the Word of God, we never see that a majority are saved. Only a remnant. A few. How many people on the face of the whole earth did God save in the ark? Eight. Noah, his sons, their wives. The rest perished. How many people did God save out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
None.
Four. Lot, his wife, their two daughters. The rest were consumed in the fire and brimstone, which the scripture says is an example of what will become of the ungodly. And even one of those four was lost along the way. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their thousands, tens of thousands. You know that because of the golden calf, he was just about to wipe them all out. He said, I'm going to start all over again with you, Moses. Leave me alone so that my anger can burn against them. He was just about to. He would have. And of all the hundreds of thousands that came out of Egypt, how many of those entered the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. Regarding all the others, the Lord swore in his wrath, they will never enter my rest. Their bodies fell in the wilderness. Of all the population of Israel in the days of Elijah, which is what, maybe 5 million, 10 million? How many were left who had not bent the knee to Baal? 7,000. Okay? 7,000 out of, say, 7 million. Do you know what that is? It's 0.1%. Do you understand what that means? 99.9% of God's, quote, chosen people had gone the way of the world and worshipped idols. God says in Isaiah chapter 13, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud. I will lay low the haughtiness of the powerful, and I will make man scarcer than pure gold. I will make man scarcer than pure gold. Now, maybe your heart recoils at the thought that God would, quote, allow so many people to go to destruction. It is assuredly the case. And the reason for it is because they choose not to take the way of rescue. Humanity, without exception, starting with our first parents, has traveled the way of sin and rebellion and disobedience. Every single one of us has done that and has done it of our own will. Death comes to all because all sinned. And we know that God has responded to that situation in love by opening up a door to life. He has offered you and me an alternative. But the choice is left to you and me. It's always been that way. Adam and Eve had a choice. When he gave the law back in Israel's day, he did the very same thing. And I recommend that you memorize Deuteronomy 30:19, which says, I call heaven and earth as my witnesses that today I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I set before you life and death. This is the way. Walk in it, he says in Isaiah. And the Lord Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount simply urging us the very same thing. Enter. Enter. You understand, he's in this sermon, he has been laying before us a portrait of the life of the kingdom of God. Hey, I set before you life. I set before you the kingdom of heaven. I set before you true righteousness. Enter. You understand, there's a commandment. It's an imperative. He doesn't say, welcome. He says, enter. That means the responsibility lies with you. You have to choose to do it. God is not going to choose for you. God is not going to force you against your will. God is not going to override your choice either. You choose one of the two ways, and each way has its destination. Okay? Most people, by nature, choose what's easy. Let's take the path of least resistance, right? The least struggle. And that's the path of do it my way, right? The path of self-determination. If you go that way, you can be assured you will have lots of companions and friends. You will experience lots of pleasures and gratifications. You won't have to take a stand. You will be able to live and let live, right? That's the broad way. It literally is big enough for every single person on earth to go his own way. You don't have to comply with any rules if you don't like. You don't have to give up anything if you don't like. You don't have to resist any urges if you don't like. You can just be carried away wherever your heart and flesh take you. Okay? You'll just be able to look out for number one. It's fun, comfortable, lots of laughs, lots of good times. Frankly, why wouldn't you want to go that way? Why not? Okay? You only live once, right? You might as well live life to the full. Right? Of course it's the majority way. Why wouldn't you want to go that way? Okay? And people like to think that they can go their entire lives without honoring God, caring about God, being thankful toward God, and yet at the funeral, they comfort themselves by saying, he's in a better place now. Okay? They have rejected, they'll turn a deaf ear to you if you want to talk to him about sin, redemption, eternal matters, and so on. Okay? And still there is, I just know he's up there in heaven looking down on us. He's up there fishing with his buddies. Okay? He's at peace now. He isn't. He isn't. There is no peace for the wicked.
Amen.
Saith my God.
Yes.
Saith God, all right? Not saith the pastor. The judge himself says that. There is no peace for the wicked. If you choose the broad way, you are told in advance where it leads. It leads to destruction. Destruction is described as weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's described as outer darkness, blackest darkness, where the worm does not die and the fire does not go out. Everlasting destruction, cast out from the presence of the Lord, objects of wrath and indignation forever. Now, if you're one of the people on the broad path, that kind of language is offensive. You're saying, you're telling me that I and people that are very dear to me are going to be in hell forever? Yes. I am saying that. I am saying that. Your loved ones, you. Does that make me your enemy because I tell you the truth?
No.
Okay. Doesn't it make sense, though, that if you live your whole life in sin and away from God, why would you either deserve or even want an eternity in God and away from sin? You're just thinking in terms of your own pleasure, okay? All that's on your mind is pleasure. You want pleasure now, and you want pleasure for eternity. That's just not how things work. Enter the narrow gate. That tells you something. It tells you that salvation doesn't happen by accident. Okay? It tells you you don't get lucky and sort of stumble across it. You don't just, surprise you, wound up in heaven. The kingdom of heaven has to be sought for. You don't just happen upon it. It requires intent, intentionality. You need to be searching for it, looking for something that just, it isn't right there obvious to see. It has to be the object of your decision and will. He says in Luke, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Strive. It's a struggle. It's something that requires you to engage your will. It's not going to just fall into your lap. You understand? Few there be that find it. Why did they find it? Because they were seeking it. They were searching for it. Mm-hmm. Seek and you will find. Don't seek, you won't. Now, anybody can enter. Okay, we have to make that clear. Prostitutes, murderers, swindlers, druggies, adulterers, juvenile delinquents, Pharisees, anyone can enter. If God had his way, everyone would enter. Atonement has been provided for every single person. The Lord Jesus, John says, is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast him away, but you must come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Learn true righteousness here from my teaching. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I will give you rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Look, anyone can enter. But you have to enter in through the correct gate. And that gate is a narrow one. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it only admits one at a time. Yeah, you understand that means you don't get in because your family's in. You don't get in because you sit among Christians in a congregation like this. No, you yourself have to choose to go in. There is another grave mistake that you can make, and that's this. It's not just a narrow gate. It is a difficult way. Okay, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And this is where a lot of churchgoers, I think, go wrong. They believe that because they've gone in at the gate, that everything's in the bag now. Okay? You've made a profession. You've taken the plunge. But you fail to understand that it's not just the gate. The way is difficult. The Christian life is difficult all along, all the way until the end. There are sacrifices to be made. There are tears to be shed. There are conflicts. There are crises of conscience. There's dark days ahead along the way. You're going to risk friends. You're going to risk family relationships. You're going to surrender comforts. You're going to possibly lose job opportunities. Why? Because people will take offense at the high standard that you live by the way of life that you've chosen. Okay? Receiving pardon in Jesus Christ doesn't allow you to loosen your standard of living, does it? It makes you have much higher standards. And Peter says people are going to be surprised that you no longer run with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they'll heap abuse on you. Okay? It's a difficult way. I think we ought to appreciate how Jesus is quite honest with us about that. Okay? He doesn't candy coat the Christian life. He doesn't deceive us about how great and wonderful it's going to be all along the way. He wants you to know what you're signing up for. You have to know what you're signing up for. Living the life of the kingdom of Christ is costly. If you say you want to follow Jesus, and I think if I interviewed you all, you would say that you want to. If you say you want to follow Jesus, be aware of what you're getting into. Foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Can you drink the cup that I will drink? Because you will drink it. Count the cost, he said. Now, my brother is a stranger to me because of Jesus Christ. School friends, too. I've taken a pass on a lot of the so-called finer things in life. You know, great movies, great music, great TV shows, and so on. And great, you know, obviously, you know, what it depends on what you think makes a movie great, right? You know, I would have tons more time to myself than I do if I wasn't a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've passed up salary, benefits, career, who knows what else, to follow Jesus Christ. And some of you have given up at least that much, maybe more. Some people have given up lots more to serve Jesus, to follow Jesus. Okay? Choosing Jesus, you see, means specifically not choosing other things, things that may pull at your heart, things that may please your senses, things that make life worth living. Okay? I know, however, that the pathway that I am walking on leads to life. It leads to eternal life. And I know that the other pathway, that it may not be an exaggeration to say 99.9% of other people, the pathway they're on ends in misery. It ends in destruction. Okay? You know what? Now that gospel's being preached in the world, that the name of Jesus Christ is becoming better known, you know, maybe the percentage is less than 99.9%, but it's pretty high. Okay? Don't worry about what the percentage is. You enter in by the narrow gate. You have to walk the difficult way. That means break off your sins. It means repent. It means be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave all and follow him. Understand that, you know, in a manner of speaking, understand that the rest of your life is going to be difficult. All right, is that okay? Is that acceptable? Okay, if you understand that going in, you won't suffer from fatigue so much along the way. And I said it earlier, you know, sometimes I wonder about church fatigue. You know, I think sermon after sermon, you know, your urge to press to the high mark of the calling of the Christian life, right? To live an exemplary life, not a mediocre life, you know, not a worldly life like your neighbors lead, like a lot of other churchgoers lead, like so many people, okay? As for you, stand fast against the devil. As for you, resist sin. Resist the world. Don't love the world. Make peace. Do what makes for the glory of Jesus Christ. Turn away from things and okay. And when you get pushed every week and you get urged over and over again to live this exemplary life, a sold out life for Jesus Christ, do you ever get to a point, I think you do, where you start to turn it out, to tune it out? Because I think I see it happening from time to time, all right? It's hard to come to church. It's hard to endure the sermon because it seems like it's an unreasonably high bar, okay? You know, like the speaking and so on, you know, you get my blood pumping, but, you know, it's as far as actually doing the things that you want us to do, I don't think it's too hard to do, okay? It's too hard to do. You're supposed to talk like that, okay? That's what we pay you for. You see, not that many travel the path. Not that many travel the path. Okay? Few go in by it. It's easier not to. It's easier not to. Okay? Friends, hear the words of Jesus. The way is difficult, but it leads to life. Understand? It leads to everlasting life. Every minute of the struggle is worth it. Every sacrifice is worth it. It's worth the lost sleep. It's worth the pain. It's worth the tears. It's worth the discipline. Okay? Athletes train to win the crown. They train hard. We stand to win the crown of life. Did you think it was going to be easy? No. Train hard. The easy way goes down to destruction. That's what the Lord Jesus says. It's the hard way. It's the pilgrim way. It's the road much less traveled that leads to life. There are few that find it. You can't automatically assume you're one of the few. Okay, you can't automatically assume it. Now, it seems to me that a number of you are still goofing around down there by the gate. You're trying to figure out if there's a way to go in both. Okay, I want to go through this gate, but I want to get to that destination. It doesn't work that way. Okay, there's peer pressure. Okay, come along with us. You know, come in with the crowd. 99% of us are going this way. Why don't you come with us? Okay, makes it hard to resist. Peer pressure. There's also inertia. You know, it's easier not to make the choice right now. Okay, do I have to make it right now? Can I wait until later? Can I wait until a more opportune time? And it's just, it's better, it's easier right now to be indecisive, okay? You have to make up your mind. You have to make the choice. I want you to say, and say it firmly, take the world. Give me Jesus. Yes. It is just the truth. If I push you hard, if I make it sound like it's unreasonable what you ought to do, okay? If it's hard to live up to the standards being set before you, then you're on the right path, okay? Mm-hmm. This is the life. It leads to eternity, okay? It leads to eternal life. They shall inherit the earth. Do you want that? They shall see God. They shall be called the children of God, okay? I know that some of you are in the middle of some things. Hard challenges, difficult family situations. Some of you are tired. Some of you are being run ragged. Okay, you feel like maybe you just want to quit. Let the words of Jesus assure you, you are on the right track. Okay, you did not choose wrongly when you chose Jesus. You chose correctly. And if the road is bumpy and rocky and there's dangers, toils, and snares, it's the right road. Okay? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because why? You're with me. The captain of my salvation is with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is the way. Don't turn aside to the right or the left. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for one another. We pray for our church family, every single member, every single friend, old and young, man and woman. Fill us with your Spirit. Set our eyes on Jesus. Set our eyes on the prize. Set our eyes on eternal life. Thank you for telling us, Lord, that it was not going to be easy. In fact, it's not easy. But we know, Lord Jesus, that you're with us, that you yourself have walked that very difficult path, and you prevailed. And you are able to bring us safely into your eternal kingdom. Help us to forsake the world, to hate sin, to love peace, justice, mercy, and to do these things, Lord Jesus Christ, because they're pleasing to you and they're worthy of people who call God their Father. We pray in your name. Amen.